good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. Very quick, let me get it said real quick. We discovered today, after working very intensely with an engineer in Westwood One, that we have a bad Zephyr, which is part of our broadcast equipment here. So if the Zephyr goes out, they're going to call us and let us know right away, and then we'll get reconnected as quickly as we can. A new Zephyr is on the way via UPS. It'll be here tomorrow. Okay? So what that means is, if all of a sudden something happens to the program, I'm not talking about the streaming, but I'm talking about, you know, the inconsequential stuff. Sirius, XM, all the radio stations. It's because we have a bad Zephyr here in the hovel that we call the studio of the Malloy program in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. So tomorrow at some point, UPS or FedEx will try to get through the werewolves and vampires and monkey grass and bring us a new one. Are we still on the air? Oh, good. Man, I don't have to deal with this except for the horrific frustration of it, but Kathy has to deal with it since she's the program engineer. We still in the air? God. All right. Oh, by the way, tomorrow, August 14th, will be the, thanks to Matt in East Jordan, Michigan for this. Tomorrow is the anniversary of the signing by President Roosevelt of the Social Security Act of 1935, which was the first act, the first president to advocate the protection of the elderly. The administration proposal was transmitted to the Congress on January 17th, 1935, and it only took the rat bastards 8 months to confirm it. But it was signed into law August 14th, 1935, Social Security. And it could have ended last year about this time, or the year before about this time, if George W. Bush would have had his way and turned it all over to Wall Street. Remember that? Do you think that idea is finally dead? And the monkeys out there, oh my God, they're still at it, aren't they? They're still talking about the death panel. It's just... Oh, well. Les Paul died today at the age of 94. The obituaries are all over the place. Guitar virtuoso, inventor, who revolutionized music. And as surely as Elvis Presley, it was Les Paul that created rock and roll. He developed the solid body electric guitar, multi-track recording. He died today at the age of 94. And I'm sure there will be an enormous obituary about him in tomorrow's New York Times. 94. He was playing up until, what, about 7-8 months ago at a club in New York every Wednesday night, Thursday night? Have you heard about, do you shop at Whole Foods? You go to Whole Foods? You know, it's pretty well known. It has been known for a long time that John Mackey, the CEO of Whole Foods, is one of these Ayn Rand, libertarian freaks. Well, guess what he's done? He wrote an editorial, and thanks to joemygod.blogspot.com for this. He wrote an editorial in yesterday's Wall Street Journal in which he lovingly quotes Margaret Thatcher, the former prime minister of the UK. And he says that there, quote, is no intrinsic right to health care, end quote. This is part of what he said in his Wall Street Journal op-ed. He said, many promoters of health care reform believe that people have an intrinsic equal right to health care, ethical right to health care, to equal access to doctors, medicine, and hospitals. Well, all of us empathize with those who are sick. How can we say that all people have more of an intrinsic right to health care than they have to food or shelter? Healthcare is a service that we all need, but just like food and shelter, it is best provided through voluntary and mutually beneficial market exchanges. A careful reading of both the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution will not reveal any intrinsic right to healthcare, food, or shelter. That's because there isn't any. This so-called right has never existed in America. This is the guy who owns Whole Foods, the CEO. Think about it the next time you want to go into that crap hole and buy some of his food and make him even richer. He goes on, even in countries like Canada and the UK, there is no intrinsic right to health care. Rather, citizens in these countries are told by government bureaucrats what health care treatments they are eligible to receive and when they can receive them. All countries of socialized medicine ration health care by forcing their citizens to wait in lines to receive scarce treatments. John Mackey, CEO of Whole Foods. Don't you want to rush out? And hey, John, did you happen to see the New York Times today? Did you see the picture on the cover? The picture of thousands upon thousands of people lining up in Englewood, California, to get blood pressure checks and mammograms and immunizations and acupuncture for pain and dental checkups, pap smears, Mr. Mackey, all of it free. Thousands of people. For the second day in a row, thousands of people. They started lining up after midnight. Free dental medical vision service, courtesy of a nonprofit group that more typically provides mobile health care for the rural poor. But they decided to try it in an urban center, a big urban center, the Los Angeles area. So they picked Englewood. And word got out. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. How much play did that get in mainstream media today? Yeah, the picture was on the front of the New York Times. Can I see a show of hands from all you right-wing half-wits out there that subscribe to the New York Times? Let me see. I don't see one. As the Times said this morning, the enormous response to the free care was a stark corollary to the hundreds of Americans who have filled town hall-style meetings throughout the country, angrily expressing their rage at the Obama administration's proposed changes to the nation's health care systems. The enormity of this turnout also reflected California's high unemployment and the recent reduction in its Medicaid services for the poor. According to the Times, many of those who lined up to get the service said they lacked insurance, but many others said they had coverage, but not enough to meet their needs or that they could afford. Couldn't afford the deductibles. Man. So if you didn't see it and you're listening online or you have a computer handy, go to nytimes.com, take a look at the picture, and read the article. Pap smears, for Christ's sake. Mammograms. Huh? How about that? Pap smears. Mammograms. Some of the people got root canals, their teeth cleaned. Do you know untreated root canals, when you have an abscessed tooth, there's a pretty good chance you're going to die of heart disease within 5 years of that that untreated abscess. Do you know that? The bacteria that cluster around the diseased root gets into your system and travels to the valves of your heart.
Oh, people don't need dental care, Mike. God damn it. It's not a right. It's a privilege.
Last month, the state of California dropped its dental and vision coverage for Medi-Cal enrollees. It has capped the enrollment in the state's health insurance program for children of the working poor. Thousands of people across the state of California lost their coverage in the middle of these negotiations by Schwarzenegger and the members of the California legislatures. They tried to find a stopgap for $24 billion in losses. Or in $24 billion debt. On Tuesday, volunteers provide 1,448 services to about 600 patients who made it into the building. 95 tooth extractions, 470 fillings, 140 pairs of eyeglasses, 96 pap smears, 93 tuberculosis tests. Hundreds of volunteer doctors, dentists, optometrists, nurses, and others expected to serve 8,000 patients by the end of the eight-day gathering. Jesus Christ.
Everything is crumbling around me. Why does everything cost so much money? Could somebody please help out my family? My mom needs hearing aids, new shoulders and new legs. My dad needs a break. All day, every day. My brother needs a place and a job where he can make
radio right from the left. It's More Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. The reason for our web listeners, the reason you're hearing music from Woodstock, obviously, is because this is the 40th anniversary weekend of the Art and Music Festival that was held in Bethel, New York, all those years ago. So if you're listening via the internet, that's what you're hearing. So let me kind of repeat that. The CEO of Whole Foods, John Mackey, has written in the Wall Street Journal that there's no intrinsic right to health care. And once again, he's another one of these right-wing crazy people who talks about the Constitution. He says a careful reading of both the Declaration of Independence, oh please, and the Constitution will not reveal any intrinsic right to health care, food, or shelter. But Mr. Mackey, are you so illiterate or so easily manipulated that you don't understand the terms to promote the general welfare? Does that not register anything with you? Nothing? So single-payer action has you can find them online. Single-payer action. Single-payer is what this country needs, not this garbage that's being put together by the medical-industrial complex prostitutes who, no offense to sex workers, who own so much of the House and the Senate. That's not what they're putting together is not health care. It is insurance reform, health insurance reform. And since to a great, and this is where, you know, the Republicans are irrelevant. Screw the Republicans. Pretend like they're not there. There are enough Democrats who will make sure that the health or the medical insurance industrial complex is well taken care of. But Mackey says there's no right to this. No intrinsic right. He quotes Margaret Thatcher, for Christ's sake, and every other right-wing nutball who claims, well, I'm a follower of Ayn Rand. I'm a libertarian, you know. No, you're not. You're a Nazi. You really are. Not a Nazi. You're a fascist. Follower of Ayn Rand, my ass. So, single-payer action is calling on all American citizens to boycott this freak. Single-payer action, at the Whole Foods website. Customers are getting a little bit upset about what he had to say. Here's one. John Mackey's comments in the Wall Street Journal regarding so-called Obamacare, as he puts it, run completely contrary to Whole Foods' purported values of caring about the community, nutrition, etc. It's an absolute slap in the face to the millions of progressive-minded consumers that have made Whole Foods what it is today. You should know who butters your hearth-baked bread, John. Last time I checked, it wasn't the insurance industry or conservatives who made you a millionaire 100 times over. Suffice it to say, we will be selling our Whole Foods stock ASAP and will only be shopping at our neighborhood Whole Foods for emergency items from now on, even though it is by far the most convenient store for us. Here's another one. John Mackey is a right-wing libertarian. He's a union buster. He believes that corporations should not be criminally prosecuted for the crimes. He has launched a campaign to defeat a single-payer national health insurance system, and he's the CEO of Whole Foods, a primo hangout of liberal democratic yuppies. And by the way, Whole Foods deleted the entire customer form from which I just quoted those two comments, because so many of the pages of complaints were starting to get to John, I guess. One of the readers said that customers are now, quote, going renegade, end quote, and posting their complaints in other areas of the site, such as new product requests. Oh yeah, you can, if you want to make a post at somebody's site, you can damn sure get it. You know, they can cut off the blog because it's becoming too intense and too real, too reality based. I think that's the, but this is so infuriating. It's just, you know, here's a guy who, you know, as everybody knows, he's sucked up on that community values idea. What the hell is community values if it doesn't include this intrinsic right that he says doesn't exist anywhere to health care and a place to live? You're goddamn right. And decent food. You betcha. Not in this society. Those are not rights. Remember the four freedoms? Who talked about the four freedoms? Was that Wilson? Was that Woodrow Wilson? Who talked about the four freedoms? John Mackey, he likes Ayn Rand and Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead and John Galt and all those real Americans who, you know, just pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps. You know what I'm saying? Like John Mackey did.
America, one flying monkey at a time. It's More Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. When Kathy and I were first dating, and you've heard that story if you've listened to this program a long time, she was a stalker. But I took her to a music festival in Midtown Atlanta. This was 15 years ago. And we were in one of the little tents where a silversmith had set up her wares to sell, and we were looking at jewelry, and I looked up, and about 5 feet from us was Joan Baez. And I said to Kathy, you want to meet Joan? And Kathy looked at me like, yeah, okay, sure. So I walked over and said, hey, Joan. She said, hi, Mike. I said, I'd like you to meet a friend of mine, Kathy Bay. And we did a quick introduction, and that was it. We didn't want to bug her. And, of course, for the rest of the day, Kathy just looked at me like I was shining. What happened was, what Kathy didn't know at the time, about 3 months before that, Joan Baez had come to Atlanta for a concert at an outdoor stadium, not unlike the Hollywood Bowl, only much smaller here in Atlanta. It was a combination of pop stars and the Atlanta Symphony. And at the time when I was working at WSB Radio, we used to co-sponsor those. So I was the MC on a couple of those concerts. The one with Joan Baez, I got there a little bit early the night of the concert, went backstage, and her security person said, yeah, you can come in. So I went back, and he took me to her dressing room, and I went in and introduced myself. And she had a book that she had written with her her then-husband, David, you know who I'm talking about, the anti-war protester. And we sat backstage and talked for half an hour. And I was just blown away because having been a radio and CNN and yada, yada, yada for a number of years, I know that most of these big superstars have egos out to here. But Joan Baez did not. And ever since I had heard the her album Diamonds and Rust, that was the one that really got to me. I always thought her voice was a little bit too much tremolo. Is that the right word? Too much vibrato for me. But the album Diamonds and Rust, cemented Joan Baez in my little library of music. The reason I mention all that, I was so impressed with just her. There was something about her that was hard to really put your finger on. If you've ever had occasion to go to her concerts or chat with her. You know, I don't know what your connections are. You may have more direct connections than I did, but you know what I'm talking about. Well, at Daily Coast, something I want to share with you. This is from Way Down South's diary at Daily Coast. What would you do if you found yourself standing face to face with people bearing signs accusing you by name of killing babies and encouraging the shooting of American soldiers? Might you lose your cool? Might you get involved in an exchange that would ultimately lead to anger or descend into shouting matches we've been seeing at so many town halls lately? Not if you're Joan Baez, who, in the 50th year of her career, continues to live according to an unshakable idea of nonviolence and compassion in ways that should inspire us all. Last night, four Vietnam veterans protested Joan's concert in Idaho Falls with signs reading, "Joan Baez, soldiers don't kill babies, liberals do." And Joan Baez gave comfort and aid to our enemy in Vietnam and encouraged them to kill Americans. Joan was informed that the men were protesting her concert about an hour before it was due to begin, and she immediately walked out into the street to talk to them. When she approached, one of the first things they said was, "Well, we appreciate the work you did on civil rights and women's rights." They wanted to make that point clear. She listened closely as they discussed their views. Primarily, they wanted to express the way they felt betrayed by anti-war protesters when they returned from combat. Joan assured them that she stood by them then and now. They had mixed reactions as she explained her actual positions and her support for all veterans across the board. At this point, Joan's merchandise salesman, a guy named Jim Stewart, who was a captain in the U.S. Army during Vietnam, approached the group. Jim is one of the most kind-hearted people you could ever meet. He's not one to speak lightly of what he went through in Vietnam. He took Joan's arm and said to these four men, quote, "I stand by this lady 100%. She did the right thing then, and she stood by us when we got home. She even recorded a song at that time from which 100% of the proceeds went to us vets," end quote. Unbelievably, one of the four protesters began to question Jim in an accusatory fashion, pressing him for details about what division he was in and where he served, as if somehow he were making it up. It brings tears to my eyes as I write this to remember Jim being questioned in this way. These protesters were there, theoretically, to lament the poor treatment of American soldiers, and yet they belittled and questioned the service of a veteran because he did not agree with their views. Jim played their game for a bit before seeing it for what it was and disengaging. Joan stood by his side and said, quote, "Oh, he's got the stories all right, but he doesn't feel the need to talk about them," end quote. Ironically, a man on his way to the concert approached at this moment and, without really following all that had gone on, interjected, quote, "Those who don't realize that what they did in Vietnam was wrong are so slow," end quote. I watched Jim's face as he heard that statement, literally getting it from both sides within less than a minute. At this point, I engaged in conversation with the man holding the sign accusing liberals rather than soldiers of killing babies. He said, quote, "I never killed any babies, and I don't believe in guilt by association," end quote. I asked him how in the world he could justify holding a sign with Joan Baez's name on it that basically implied she killed babies if he didn't believe in guilt by association. He replied, quote, "It's an analogy. You probably wouldn't understand it," end quote. Yeah. Jim said he should destroy the sign, and he then claimed we were trying to trample his constitutional right to free speech. We replied that we weren't questioning his right by any means, but rather his sense of decency, considering that he was there having a conversation with Joan and she was clearly not a baby killer. Since his entire point was that guilt by association was wrong, it made sense to us, but he replied, quote, "I'm pro-life and I'm proud of this sign," end quote. And with those words, he held it higher. As we discussed these things, one of them repeated, quote, "Soldiers don't kill babies," end quote. I said that so many horrible things happen in war that it's impossible to make such a blanket statement, especially when bombs get dropped from the sky. And I said it all comes down to the truth that war is hell. I continued saying, quote, and you all know that far better than me, end quote. They're surprised at this statement, as if shocked that anyone on the other side recognized what they'd been through. It seemed to render them speechless for a moment. At this point, Joan's continuing acceptance of their stories and her willingness to hear them out began to melt their anger. In a twist that seemed hard to fathom, they then asked her to sign their posters. She replied that she would sign the back, but not the front of, quote, "those horrible things," end quote. Incredibly, the man with the baby-killing sign replied that he would take her name off the poster if she would sign it. She did end up signing them and also getting copies of her book for each of them and offering tickets to the show, which they did not accept. She signed the back of the poster about her encouraging the killing of American soldiers, this way, quote, "All the best to you, Joan Baez," end quote. When we got back inside the theater, Joan broke down in tears. I said to her, quote, "You are so brave to face people like that." She wasn't crying about the way she had been treated, however, but about the way Jim Stewart had stood up for her. "Did you hear his voice shaking?" she said. "That was bravery." And she was right. Stepping back into the mire of Vietnam was not something he did lightly. He bore the literal denigration of his service by another veteran in order to defend her. During the concert afterward, Joan dedicated a song to the protesters and said, quote, "You know, they just wanted to be heard. Everyone wants to be heard. I feel like I made four new friends tonight," end quote. She took the high road, as always. It wasn't my name on those signs, yet I gave in to anger. She never did. As we deal with tea parties and increasingly violent right-wing protests, it would do us all good to remember the example of nonviolence and compassion that Ms. Baez has exemplified for the 50-plus years of her career. Her heroes are Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. In my book, she's right there with them, leading the timeless and essential march along the high road. So, this is at Daily Coast, Way Down South Diary, if you want to get a copy of it. So, don't you wish? I know I do. I wish I could develop that kind of presence and centeredness.
I'm thinking about killing Michael Moore, and I'm wondering if I could kill him myself or if I would need to hire somebody to do it. I think I could. I think he could be looking me in the eye, you know? And I could just be choking the life out. Is this wrong? I stopped wearing my What Would Jesus Band Do, and I've lost the whole sense of right and wrong now. I used to be able to say, yeah, I'd kill Michael Moore, and then I'd see the little band, What Would Jesus Do? And then I'd realize, oh, he wouldn't kill Michael Moore. At least it wouldn't choke him to death, and, you know. Well, I'm not sure.
My. All right, We have a bunch of stuff tonight, not all of which is as calming as Joan Baez's experience with four anti-Joan Baez people. If you go to the Daily Coast, to that website or to that diary posting, there are also five or six photographs there taken of this whole thing, and you'll see the protesters, they're old men now. I guess the people who went to Vietnam and 66 and 67, that's 43 years ago. If they were 25, they're now close to 70. Boy, time just rips by, doesn't it? But if you go Way Down South's diary, take a look at the pictures.
Your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. The Zephyr didn't collapse yet? Oh, good. My goodness, we've almost made it through the first... Just kidding. First hour without... we have this new equipment coming tomorrow, so if we can get through tonight, we're home free. That's what it's like when you try to run the... A nationally syndicated radio program on the kind of spit and string that we've tried to tie this the studio together. Thanks to Sheila, it was not Wilson. I should have known this. I am stand corrected. It was FDR, and he gave the speech the 6th of January, 1941, about a year before Pearl Harbor. And it was in a much larger context, but the CEO of Whole Foods, maybe should go back and check this out. Of course, he would have no use for somebody like FDR, since John Mackey, the CEO of Whole Foods, is such a strict libertarian and follower of Ayn Rand. I always said Ayn Rand. That's what it looks like. But then, you know. Is it John Mackey? Is John Mackey the head of... I've got it right here someplace. Yeah, I think it was John Mackey. But anyway, the Four Freedoms that Roosevelt talked about was in the context of a larger speech. And this is what Mr. Mackey maybe should reference. FDR said, "In the future days, which we seek to make secure, we look forward to a world founded upon four essential human freedoms. The first is the freedom of speech and expression everywhere in the world. The second is freedom of every person to worship God in his own way everywhere in the world. The third is freedom from want, which translated into world terms means economic understandings, which will secure to every nation a healthy peacetime life for its inhabitants everywhere in the world." Freedom from want. The fourth is freedom from fear, which translated into world terms means a worldwide reduction of armaments to such a point and in such a thorough fashion that no nation will be in a position to commit an act of physical aggression against any neighbor anywhere in the world. That is no vision of a distant millennium. It is a definite basis for a kind of world attainable in our own time and generation. That kind of world is the very antithesis of the so-called new order of tyranny, which the dictators seek to create with the crash of a bomb. So there you have it. The freedom from the freedom from want, which will secure to every nation a healthy peacetime life for its inhabitants. But John Mackey, the CEO of Health Food or Whole Foods, says, "Nah. Where it concerns health care, now there's no right to food, food, shelter, or health care. That's not a right. That's not a right." Well, Mr. Mackey, how about this? If you have a child." I don't know anything about Mackey's personal life, but since it's not an intrinsic right and the idea of community help is so foreign to this freak, if you have a child, and let's say your child is 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, why not just turn the kid out of the house? Why are you providing shelter and food and protection and health insurance? I mean, is there an age limit, Mr. Mackey, that your nasty-ass comments below which don't apply? What is it? 6? 8? Below 15? Below 20? Is there an upper limit? Do people over the age of 65 or 70, do they have a right to expect health care? In Mr. Mackey's world, no. Medicare or Medicaid is, I guess he would assume that to be a communist or socialist plot, like the people who are picketing and screaming and fouling themselves at these so-called town hall meetings. But next time you go into Whole Foods or think about going to Whole Foods, you might want to consider the editorial, the op-ed piece written by John Mackey on the op-ed page of the Wall Street Journal, which is one of the most reactionary pages in American media. And, of course, the Wall Street Journal now is owned by Rupert Murdoch. But even prior to his owning it, the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal is an absolute nest of reactionary fascists who have one thing in mind, and that is a form of new world feudalism that will rival the old style feudalism. Because remember, to these people, the perfect form of capitalism entails with it slavery, so that people will do the work And in Mackie's world, I guess, turn to each other for food and for comfort. And, well, if you have a group of people, maybe 50 people who are living as a tribe and living in out in the open because they can't afford a home anymore, maybe somebody in there will be an ex-surgeon, so that if somebody has a baby to deliver or a diseased appendix to be removed, maybe there'll be a person in the group to take care of all that. And Mr. Mackie might want to turn his sights to the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who lined up to get free medical care from doctors and dentists and massage therapists and acupuncturists and people who got together, medical people, to provide what the society will not. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour, and the Molloy Studio is holding together tonight. Isn't that amazing? A couple emails here, and then we have a report from Prairie 2 and a whole lot of other stuff to get to tonight, so stick around. Debbie from Michigan writes, it is amazing that Ayn Rand has endeared herself to any political party. Ayn Rand came from Russia. Her real name is Alisa Zinovyevna Rosenbaum, and she was raised and educated in Russia. Her greatest achievement seems to be turning the elite against the common man, making Roosevelt's approach obsolete. Our country was not founded on the rugged individual. The early settlers depended on one another, traveled together, made settlement together, and took care of each other. The so-called rugged individual would not have survived the frontier days. Debbie from Michigan. Thanks, Debbie. Rick writes, Mike, first, I love the show. And here's my quick response to anyone who says they don't want to pay for someone else's health care. If my tax dollars are used to send people to kill other people in wars I don't believe in against my will, then your tax dollars can be used to save lives against your will. And yes, I know these dumb bastards would swear that wars are necessary and will keep acting as if they're the victims, even if most of them would be the ones benefiting the most from single payer or any other decent form of health care. That is assuming they wouldn't be the very ones abusing the system themselves. But I thought this was a neat little retort to the talking points with a quick no response required. Take care and keep it lit. Rick. This is from Lisa. Mike, I just wanted to let you know I got to watch the program you all did in Seattle last weekend. I think you are one of the most unique and honest voices in progressive talk radio. Well, thanks, Lisa. I even got one of my friends to get your podcast. Most of us don't have a lot of money, but getting your podcast was a good investment for me. I live in Rochester, New York, and we lost our progressive channel a year ago, and it sucks. I'm also an RN who had to pay $500 plus a month for health care. Not a single plan in order to keep the doctor I've had for 17 years. For a single plan in order to keep the doctor I've had for 17 years. Now, I can't pay that much any longer and have to pay an exorbitant amount of money to see my doctor since they're not in my employer's plan. I work in an ICU, and I'm watching 40- and 50-year-olds die due to the fact that they have no health care at all. So they walk around with sick hearts and clogged arteries and then have heart attacks and die. It's out of control. Thanks for continuing to speak the truth. I appreciate all you and Kathy do. Peace, Lisa. Thanks, Lisa. From Prairie 2. Subject, the good old days are back, if you miss the uniform. Despite the happy talk from the Fed today, the numbers were all bad. Retail sales were way down again, despite a boost from clunker cash. Even Walmart sales were off substantially, but they reported good profits. These turned out to be from cutting inventory, signaling they expect things to get worse, not better. Manufacturers and retailers cut inventory for the 10th straight month. While the trade deficit continued to widen as we produce less and borrow more, the dollar continues to decline in value, making everything more expensive. Jobs also continue to be cut, and so the weekly unemployment claims were up again. The total number of people on the rolls is down, but that's only because, for a lot of people, the lifeline is gone. Home foreclosures have set a new record, and home prices continue to decline. This makes refinancing impossible for many people who do find new jobs but still face homelessness. As many as half of home mortgages are underwater. Already at record levels, bankruptcies were up 8% from last month and up 32% over last year. From the Les Miserables department, if you are late with payments while unemployed, it will likely keep you from getting a job as the corporate fascists check your credit history. Some states are moving to ban this practice. But look to the Bush appointees on the federal appeals court to strike down these laws as they have been quietly consolidating corporate power over the last 8 years. Chief Justice Roberts has ordered a rehearing of a case this fall that will likely set in stone the absolute supremacy of corporations in America once and for all. This case could eliminate any attempts to restrict corporate spending on elections and lobbying. It could make any sort of reform of insurance companies or any other corporate practice an exercise in futility, as corporations would have the ability to overwhelm any campaign against them. It is not in the corporate interest to create jobs or to do anything that aids in the economic recovery. The worse the things get, the better it is for them as they continue to consolidate power. Business failures mean nothing. The assets are simply transferred to a different corporation. The barely concealed corporate support for the brown shirt birthers and deathers will likely become more blatant. With all restrictions on corporate political spending lifted by the Roberts Court this fall, you will doubtless see this taken to a level not seen since the 30s. Brown shirt thugs, torchlight parades, book burning, and Kristallnacht. It's a good time to be a fascist again. Prairie2.com, prairienumeral2.com, if you want to go to his website and comment. I couldn't believe this one. This is from CNN. An Arizona man caught leaving bottles of water in the desert for illegal immigrants has been sentenced to 300 hours of community service and a year of probation. Walt Staten, a member of the group No More Deaths, left full water bottles in December in Buenos Aires National Wildlife Refuge for the illegal immigrants who routinely pass through the 18,000-acre refuge, according to court documents. A judge sentenced him Tuesday to 300 hours of picking up trash on public property and a year on probation, No More Deaths said in a written statement. He's also banned from the refuge during that time. Although the case involved only a misdemeanor charge, both sides used the divisive issue of illegal immigration in their arguments. Staten's lawyer argued that Staten's actions were humanitarian, but the government said otherwise. In a sentencing memo, the federal prosecutors wrote that Staten's actions are not about humanitarian efforts, but about protesting the immigration policies of the United States and aiding those who enter illegally into the United States. noting the phrase scrawled on many of the plastic water jugs, buena suerte, or good luck in Spanish, the prosecutors said, quote, the obvious conclusion is that the defendant and the organization No More Deaths wish to aid illegal aliens in their entry attempt. End quote. Sentenced to 300 hours of community service. Isn't leaving jugs of water for people who may be dying of thirst, isn't that community service? Not in this goddamn country, not anymore. No, of course not. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Well, a year on probation for putting out water for people who... Are those people breaking the law? Yeah, of course. Didn't Jesus help people who were breaking the law? Breaking Rome's law? Isn't that what Jesus was all about? Never mind. Never mind. Speaking of people coming across the U.S.-Mexican border, which one assumes would be mostly Spanish speakers, huh? Is that a fair assumption? The also at Coast, the cost of the Sotomayor opposition by the Republicans, the Republican favorability with Latinos is down from 14% to 3%. And the unfavorable rating went from 73% up to 86%. Republicans were already lagging badly with Latinos, yet somehow they managed to lose a net 24 favorability points over the course of 3 months. And for what? To keep the dying 1950s Pat Buchanan wing of the party happy. Great call there.
In the middle of seven sad forests, I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard rain that's gonna fall.
Because without dissent, it's not America. Here's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. David in Los Angeles writes, regarding John Mackey and his screed against, you know, the CEO of Whole Foods, and his screed in the Wall Street Journal against people who think they that health care is an intrinsic right. According to John Mackey, it is not. David writes, Mike, someone who heads a large chain of food stores should realize that there is no constitutional right to public transport either. Nevertheless, the government maintains a road and highway network that enables this individual to get his products to the stores where they are sold. It also maintains sewer systems to deal with the foods after they're used. Sincerely, David G. in Los Angeles. Yeah, they never, these self-described libertarians or John Galt wannabes or Ayn Rand freaks or whatever, yeah, they're very selective, aren't they, in their insistence that nobody has a right to health care or shelter or food. And I wonder, you know, I don't know Mackey's religious beliefs. So I wonder if he's a Christian. I would not be the least bit surprised to find out that he is. Isn't that, there's no surprise there. But as David points out, they're very selective in what they decide the rest of us shouldn't have as an intrinsic right. And they leave off, well, just exactly what David just said. You know, the public transport system. And there is no, is there an intrinsic right to the socialism that exists in the police departments or the fire departments or the EMT, operations? Some of them. I mean, where do they draw the line? If John Mackey all of a sudden clutched his chest and keeled over between the lettuces and the rutabagas in his, one of his stores, all organically grown, of course. If that were to happen, would John Mackey insist that a private ambulance be called, or would he goddamn take anything that showed up? And who would be there first? Somebody would see him writhing on the floor, his face turning a whiter shade of pale, and would dial 911, which does not connect you. And by the way, 911, who pays for that, John? Would dial 911, which does not connect you to Ace Ambulance Service. It connects you to a publicly funded ambulance service, which would then come and save his life. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe John Mackey carries in his breast pocket the phone number of a private EMT service or ambulance service or rescue operation. So just in case, before he started eating Whole Foods, he ate unwhole foods, and his arteries are narrow enough to allow a little trickle of blood to seep through. Who knows? You see? Pat and Etta wrote in, Mike, with the din on both sides of the healthcare argument, sometimes difficult to stand above the fray, take a breath, and think through the issue in a logical manner. The conversation needs to be framed from the point of context of the speaker. My wife and I, through the industries we have worked in, have had the wonderful opportunity to travel the world. We have lived abroad for months at a time and have come to know other cultures well. Most of these have a social safety net that goes far beyond health care alone. What I see in the health care debate in this country is a myopic view. If the only information you have is what your circle of friends offers, you'll never be able to understand ideas that are different or contrary. We are now actively looking outside the country to retire. It may be the only way we can afford to live. We're looking into countries that have good, quote, socialized health systems, end quote. And guess what? If needed, for a small charge, we can then come back for care in the United States. P.S. The Joan Baez story was great. Pat and Etta. The only disagreement I have here, Pat, when you say in your first line, with the din on both sides of the healthcare argument, I haven't, you know, I mentioned this the other night, I haven't heard, who was it, Kate Snow on ABC said the same thing, basically. I haven't heard the din from the other side. I haven't heard it. I have seen Barack Obama now giving a couple of speeches and a couple more planned, not speeches, but town hall meetings himself. But I'm not sure what Kate Snow at ABC or our obviously dedicated listeners, Pat and Etta here, exactly what is meant by the din on the other side. I don't hear it. Maybe I'm listening the wrong place, but I don't hear liberals screaming or progressives or Democrats going to these town hall meetings and screaming for single payer, which is what we should have. I don't hear them screaming that the only place I hear them screaming that the right wingers should shut up is me on this program. That's about it. So, Pat, thank you very much for being a loyal listener. I'm just not real clear on what's meant by the din on both sides. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Molloy.
All I got is this compromise and a bag full of alibis. Lord, as empty as the bottle of whiskey in my shaking hand. It's gonna be in the valley of tomorrow, 'cause tonight we're gonna blow it all away.
Help me,
truth seekers gather around the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
The Music Factory writes in, Mike, you left out one little piece of information about Walt Staten. He was the guy who put out the water jugs and was sentenced to a year of probation and 300 hours of community service. Music Factory writes, he's as close as you can get to a real Christian in America today. He's a Unitarian Universalist. I'm sorry. Yeah, I get that. Tony from Maine writes, a lot of emails tonight, and I'm just going to share them with you. I could tell you about the current nervous breakdown of Dick Cheney or Sarah Palin, but what the hell. And no, Glenn Beck did not kill himself today. This is from Tony in Maine. Mike, the other day a friend and I drove down to Portsmouth to lend our support to President Obama for his town hall meeting. On the hour drive down there, I thought to myself about how I would react to those who were there to protest against any kind of government-supported plan. My friend made a sign to hold while we were driving, a very simple message which stated that she supported President Obama. The sign read, quote, "We will support you, Mr. President," end quote. When we arrived in Portsmouth, we found a parking spot in the vicinity of the school where Obama was going to speak. The walk was somewhat lengthy, and during that time, a man engaged me in conversation about the Boston Red Sox. He noticed my baseball hat, and he too was a fan of the team. We had a great talk about where the team was, trades that were made to improve the team, and just general talk that those who live in New England engage in when speaking of our beloved Red Sox. As we neared the school, he and his wife splintered off to join a group of people who were against health care and the president. I looked at my friend and just shook my head. Here was a man who was very pleasant to speak with, yet he was about to join a crowd who were anything but pleasant. We never made it inside the school, so we just stood outside with those who were passionate about getting every American health care. The supporters were on the most part civil, well prepared with literature on health care. It seemed more like a get-together rather than a protest. Many views and ideas were exchanged. Almost no attention was paid to those who gathered on the other side. Every once in a while, I would look over and just take in what those people were doing. They were loud, boisterous, yelling things that made almost no sense. And the thing that struck me the most was that those anti-healthcare protesters looked like they were the ones that would benefit the most from a government-run system. They looked out of shape. Many were smoking. Some had that look in their face of one who drank too much. And then I looked at those who were on my side, and they, for the most part, looked in pretty good shape. It was a good experience, something that I'll never forget. But on the way home, I kept going back to the man I talked to when I first arrived. And I was baffled as to how someone who seemed so normal would join a group that was anything but. And I felt for his wife, who walked with a severe limp, a woman who probably would benefit more than I from a single-payer healthcare system. You and Kathy have a good evening. Tony from Maine. Yeah, I hear you. Oh, and the preamble from the Babes. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Promote the general welfare. Establish justice. Ensure domestic tranquility. In order to form a more perfect union. Justice, tranquility, the general welfare. General welfare. Gee, I wonder what they meant by that. Now, right-wingers who insist that this is a Christian nation, one has to assume then, it is not, of course, but one has to assume that if it were a Christian nation, then promote the general welfare would be what Jesus talked about, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those in prison, care for the sick, because when you do it to these, the least of my brethren, you do it to me. Why don't these phony fascist Christian types take that to heart rather than going to these huge churches that you know, talk about their yoga classes and their counseling classes and the basketball team. Oh, and Jesus wants you to be rich. Man. And some people still write me emails condemning me because I reject completely religion, but most specifically Christianity. As you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you do it to me. And this from Gene. We're going to open up the lines if you want to call in. The number here is 877-996-2556. Mike, Palin was wasting away up there in Alaska. A deal was struck with her that will bring her future deals within the now defunct Republican Party. All she has to do is what she does naturally. Sarah has the ability to draw crowds, manipulate herds of raptors, get media attention every time she curls her finger, and tells lies without blinking an eyelash. Case in point is how quickly Palin's death panel description, which included the abusive use of her Down syndrome child, has traveled the internet and newsprint across the states faster than the speed of light. Now, really, could she be out there beating on this path if she were still the governor? Give me a break. The ugly, loudmouth, gun-loving hate mongers on the rapturous right will follow her anywhere. They will do and say anything she wants, and the fascist puppeteers are well aware of that factoid. These herds of raptors are being played and aren't aware they are being prepared to drink the Kool-Aid in the end after the fascist corporatists have no more use for them. Shades of Hitler and his ilk, and Jim Jones orchestrating hordes of charismatic herds for power purposes. It is sad for those of us who see through this insanity and feel helpless, because we know you can't make a blind person see or stop the terrified herd from going over the edge of the cliff. Mike, it is much like you've said, and I paraphrase, it's a game to these fascist puppeteers. A book I would recommend to you is Norman Cousins' The Pathology of Power. I'm now reading Robert Wright's book, The Evolution of God. I saw him on PBS talking about his book, and he made a whole bunch of sense to an agnostic like myself. Also enjoying Benjamin Franklin's autobiography. What a fascinating sense of humor. I need something to laugh about these days. Gene in Tule Lake. Is that right? Tule Lake, T-U-L-E-L-A-K-E, Tule Lake, California. Yeah, Palin pretty much is all they've got. Is it Tracy in Minneapolis? Mike, as for John Mackey, what do you expect from someone who purports to be saving the planet while helping customers to rationalize spending $35 a pound for cheese? Really? $35 a pound for cheese. Oh, okay, Pat writes back about the din. Mike, want to be clear, by din on both sides, I mean the vociferous anti-healthcare side and the meandering pro-healthcare side. At this point in the debate, both seem to be wandering through a morass of nothing but noise. I await the true debate with facts, although we are not sure that that will ever really happen. Pat, yeah, okay, I get you. This, and then we're going to come to your phones. This is an update from Raw Story. An online campaign against Fox News editorialist Glenn Beck is working. Website colorofchange.org, reacting to a long line of racial comments about President Obama, has managed thus far to knock loose from Beck's fold lawyers.com, Procter & Gamble, Progressive, SC Johnson, Geico, Men's Warehouse, and just Wednesday morning, Sargento. And here's an update. Today, ConAgra, Roche, Sanofi Aventis, and Radio Shack all backed out of sponsoring Glenn Beck's programs, according to a media advisory. James Rucker, executive director of Color of Change, in a media advisory release said, quote, "We applaud Geico and all of the other companies who have stepped forward to pull their ads from Glenn Beck. Beck's rhetoric is dangerous to the fabric of our democracy. We are heartened that so many big companies feel the same way. We won't stop here. We're going to continue our fight to see that as many of Beck's advertisers pull their support as possible." Let's see. Well, it just, Media Matters, mediamatters.org, another watchdog group, has at their website a long list of controversial, provocative, and shocking segments on Beck's television program that, for the sake of brevity, is excerpted below, which I'll just share a couple with you when we come back, most of which you're familiar with. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Flying Monkey Free Fun and Frivolity with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. So MediaMatters.org has a list of the garbage that Glenn Beck has been putting out, and which is one of the reasons that so many of these national advertisers are bailing. One of the most recent, of course, was Beck talking about putting poison in Speaker Pelosi's wine. On his Fox News show, Beck gave a glass of wine to a person wearing a Pelosi mask, encouraged you to drink it, and then said, by the way, I put poison in your... I look forward to all the policy discussions that we're supposed to have. Beck called Obama a racist, and that Obama, quote, has a deep-seated hatred for white people or the white culture. This president, I think, has exposed himself as a guy over and over and over again who has a deep-seated hatred for white people, the white culture. I don't know what it is. And then this, Beck, quote, everything that's getting pushed through Congress includes this health care bill is driven by President Obama's thinking on reparations and his desire to settle old racial scores, end quote. According to Beck, quote, everything that's getting pushed through Congress includes this, including this health care bill, is transforming America. And they're all driven by Obama's thinking on one idea, reparations. Beck later added that Obama's goal is, quote, goal is creating a new America, a new model, a model that will settle old racial scores through new social justice, end quote. So if you want to participate in any of this, go to colorofchange.org and sign a petition.
I'm thinking about killing Michael Moore, and I'm wondering if I could kill him myself, or if I would need to hire somebody to do it. I think I could. I think he could be looking me in the eye, you know, and I could just be choking the life out. Is this wrong? I stopped wearing my What Would Jesus Band Do, and I've lost all sense of right and wrong now. I used to be able to say, yeah, I'd kill Michael Moore, and then I'd see the little band, What Would Jesus Do? And then I'd realize, oh, he wouldn't kill Michael Moore. At least he wouldn't choke him to death, and, you know. Well, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Last thing here. The National Jewish Democratic Council, NJDC, has launched a petition calling on Clear Channel Communications, which is the parent company of Premier Radio Networks, which produces the Rush Limbaugh show, to stop allowing Limbaugh to abuse the memory of more than 12 million Holocaust victims who suffered and died at the hands of Adolf Hitler and his Nazi regime. This comes because today, once again, Limbaugh continued his ongoing Nazi rhetoric when he compared President Barack Obama's website to Hitler's youth movement. And last week, Limbaugh compared Obama and Speaker Pelosi to Hitler. And his, Limbaugh's website features the logo of the president's health insurance reform plan morphing into a Nazi graphic replete with swastikas. The National Jewish Democratic Council said, quote, we are profoundly disturbed by Limbaugh's unsympathetic demeanor. Today, Limbaugh continued his unconscionable Nazi rhetoric Perhaps more horrifying than Limbaugh's words may be his systematic implementation of his twisted Nazi analogies. Limbaugh continues to repeat his attacks on the air and through his website. Enough is enough. And there is a website, if you go to njdc.org, I think, National Jewish Democratic Council, njdc.org, there's a petition to sign to remove the pig man from the air. Of course, I don't think that Premier Radio Networks is going to do that, but I think it's a good idea to sign the petition. Stephen is in Burbank, California. Hey, Stephen.
Hi, Mike. I was in Alhambra Tuesday with Adam Schiff on the 29th, the district here.
Uh-huh.
There were people from Pomona. Now, I don't think Pomona is in the 29th, but we let them do it because we can bus in our SEIU people to help keep things under control. What it is I've been saying this for years, and I get to say this because I'm crazier than a loon on LSD. Insurance is bought and paid for socialism. It only goes to private enterprise. And the reason government was established is to weed out the liars and the thieves. And these people refuse to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to point out, I asked one of them, I said, hey, how much do you pay for insurance? Oh, I pay $117 a month. Say, okay, where does that money go to? Couldn't even answer.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't even answer. Oh, well, it goes to the HMO. What do they do with it? Blah, 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 blah. Could not answer. And so I figure after 6 months, you know, $700, that this person might need an operation. Who's going to pay for that?
Mm-hmm.
$2,500? $32,000?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when does it stop? And then put on top of that, the upper crust, the rich, the super rich, who probably have health insurance too, her money is going to pay for them. And they're going to get their insurance. They're going to get their medical needs taken care of, because if they don't, they have the money to hire the lawyers. We don't. And this is what they refuse to understand. I tried to explain it to them. Simple logic. You don't have to be an economics genius to understand these things. And they absolutely refuse to understand it. You know, and I'm rattling off numbers. Well, 53% want single payer. 72% want the public option. They refuse to believe it.
Yeah. Well, we've said it before, and thanks, Stephen. We've said it before. There is nothing so insurmountable as willful ignorance. You can't. Willful ignorance is by definition something that's implanted around the person displaying it, and it's an impenetrable wall. You can quote numbers and statistics until hell freezes over and won't mean anything. But I think one of the greatest scams ever perpetrated on the American people was and continues to be the so-called HMO, Health Maintenance Organization. My ass. It is a scam to take everything that they can get from you and provide nothing in return. The only people who benefit with HMOs are the board of directors and the CEO. They make millions. People who need health care can kiss off. Thanks, Stephen. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. As promised, let's go to your phone calls. Steve is in Austin, Texas, listening on XM. Hey, Steve.
Oh, hi, Mike. Good to talk to you again.
My pleasure.
Hope your drought is working out better than ours here in Central Texas.
Well, we don't have a drought anymore.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, Georgia and pretty much most of the Southeast, I think, but certainly Georgia, we were freed from that monster about, I think it was made an official declaration about 6 months ago. So
Yeah. We're baking over here. Anyway, what prompted the call was your mention of Joan Baez.
Uh-huh.
And a great story, and it made me dig out the album. And
Diamonds and Rust?
You bet.
Yeah, that was my favorite album that she ever did.
Yeah, not a weak cut on the whole thing.
No,
man,
no.
Something I still have to put on the old turntable, and
yeah,
like the Dylan albums and Pete Seeger.
Right.
Got to hear the scratches too.
I hear that.
But one thing that always comes to mind when someone mentions Joan Baez, and not just Diamonds and Rust and the earlier stuff,
mm-hmm.
but well, the earlier stuff, Joe Hill.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that one I mentioned earlier, that her voice was always a little bit—I don't know what the word is—musically speaking, tremolo or whatever it is. But
yeah,
it was always just kind of like vibrato. Is that the word? But the song about the labor organizer Joe Hill, yeah, that was her recording of that is absolute classic.
Yeah, and it still holds up.
Yeah,
and briefly, because I thought really warrants as far as Palin and Beck and mm-hmm. These other folk
mm-hmm.
They're just flapping their flying monkey wings, and I think in many respects that the administration the president, I think he's just letting them kind of work it out of their system, and I kind of think he's letting them just show themselves what they are.
Well, maybe so, but the problem with that is there are so many weak-minded people in this country. Don't forget, we are not a nation of geniuses by any stretch of the imagination. And it works on the minds of these people. You know, the demographic group that gave the least support to Obama during the election were people over the age of 62. And those are the ones, because they're so resistant to change, those are the ones that are being targeted with so much of this. I mean, think about it. You know, the death panels and rationing health care and end of life stuff. That's who's being targeted. And as a result of that targeting, from what I've seen on these videos, so many of the people who are just freaking out, shrieking and screaming and banging their canes against the floor are these old people. And it's a shame. They always take it in the chops. Remember when, they were threatened that Social Security was going to end before they did. And, you know, I mean, Jesus God, you know, why don't the Republicans ever go after, the people 25 to 54? Why don't they come after, that demographic group, that group of people that usually constitutes the target audience for radio and television? Why not go after them? Why not say to people 35, Obama is going to set up death panels, so when you get old, you know, they will kill you? Well, there's a very clear reason why they don't do it, because the 35-year-old is not going to be old for 40 years. So there's no immediate return to these right-wing thugs. But if they go for the old people who may be sick, may be infirm, may be ill, or certainly understand that their mortality is facing them right in the eyes, those are the people they try to go after. And it's sickening. It is disgusting how evil these bastards are. And you know what else, Steve? If it weren't for Fox News and Premier Radio Networks and whatever the compass, CNN, these media conglomerates that put these pigs on the air, nobody would know about them. Nobody would know Glenn Beck from Adam's House Cat. Nobody would know Rush Limbaugh from any other greasy, overweight thug who walks around talking about homeless people or homeless because they choose to be. Nobody would know about them. So because they add nothing, they are not intellectual. The stuff they write is garbage. They add nothing to society. They only take away. They only inject fear and racism and hate That's all they do. And thanks to Premier, and thanks to CNN, and thanks to whoever. This is Salem Broadcasting. This is what they do.
Yeah. So, yeah. Their megaphones are way too big.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But, bless your heart, as I say in the South, you're there for us, and there are others, and, I learn new meetings to keep it lit just about daily.
I hear that. So do I. So, thanks, Steve.
All right.
All right, bye. Man. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Yeah, you know, Beck is the kind of guy who, in high school, always got his ass beat. You know, he got pantsed, he got locked in his locker. The boys on the football team, every time they saw him walking down the hall, they would noogie his head. And this is payback. You know, Beck is the type who figures out, yeah, I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, my family's all screwed up. Yeah, I got picked on all through high school, and they never get over that. I'll figure out a way to get even. Limbaugh is another one. Same thing. All these right wingers, it's the same thing. You know what they were like in their adolescent and post-adolescent years. They were always, which speaks volumes about putting in place rules against bullying. And they're the first ones that say, oh, yeah, that infringes on free speech or some such garbage. And invariably, if you check back into the adolescent years of these people, they were the ones who always, you know, they were given wedgies, they were made fun of, they never played school sports. I don't know if they dated, I have no idea, but they're the ones that would stand around on the fringes of all the fun that everyone else was having. You know, maybe smoking a cigarette, maybe, you know, saying weird, nerdy things, but so here they are. They really are the type of people that nobody would listen to except for the fact that in Limbaugh's case, he's on several hundred radio stations. Beck has thousands of listeners. Sean Hannity, who's one of the screwiest types I have ever seen on radio or television. All these guys are given these huge platforms to say what? What is it that they add? What is it that is good that they're doing? Well, somebody sent me an email, said, come on, stop talking about Beck and get to the real issues, you know. And yeah, that's very true. I probably should do that. I just come from the school that says, you know, when somebody is screaming hate, you know, you should try to scream back, which is not the Joan Baez approach at all. But I have found over the course, you know, bless Joan Baez's heart, but I found over the course of my life that, you know, I'm just not that evolved, to do that. I'm not centered. I'm not, meditative enough, whatever it is. I like to blame it on the Irish and the Italian, but, you know, that's kind of stupid, I guess. But people just who I know are trying to destroy my country. And nobody's ever gonna, from, outside is ever, unless it's the Chinese, but, nobody's ever gonna destroy this country from the outside. It's gonna be from the inside. That's why, you know, that oath to defend the country against enemies, foreign and domestic. Domestic. You know, we're chock-a-block with domestic enemies. All these people who are using their forum, and like I've said before, because to them it's sport. Or they're sick, like the militia types. They're sick. They're out of their minds. Jesus. But these wealthy radio and TV talk show hosts who can get on the air and say, I want to kill somebody and stare into his eyes while I do it. I mean, what the hell is that? It's sickness. It's debauchery. It's insane. You know, and Beck talks about he signed a $50 million contract, you know, and I get a lot of emails from his fans who say, how much money do you make? Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a real deciding factor, isn't it? Huh? That makes Beck a better man. Oh, God. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
More than guns to kill a man.
news unfiltered, only with Mike Malloy.
Sometimes when you're curious, I'll be back around.
21 past the hour. Bob in Kentucky writes, as I was going through the news sites, I noticed that the international business papers are hailing the fact that France and Germany seem to be exiting from their respective recessions. I wondered why they could do it, but we can't. So in doing a little research and reading, something the birthers, deathers, militia members, and any other right-wing maniac should try sometime, it seems that France and Germany began fighting their financial problems from the bottom up, instead of, like we did, from the top down. From what I can gather, the cash for clunkers idea came from France, not from the wizards in our financial sector. France and Germany have social stimulus and protection, i.e. unemployment, measures and tax deferments for the lower middle class, as well as subsidies to the poor, which seem to maintain consumer spending, or in some cases increased it. We, the United States, on the other hand, threw billions of dollars at the banking industry, and they've done nothing except make themselves richer. The foreclosure rate is off the chart again this month. The last figure I read was one in every 350 homes were in foreclosure. 25% of the houses in this country are financially underwater. No jobs and unemployment running out in a lot of states. The cabal did nothing to help. I guess the problem I'm having with all this is there seems to be nothing I or we can do to fix it. I can piss and moan about it. You can. Hartman can. Stephanie can. But at the end of the day, what can we really do? I guess George Carlin was right. It's a big club and you ain't in it. Bob in Kentucky. Yeah, I certainly agree. I mean, you know, how many times over the past, I don't know, 20 years, have you heard these right-wing morons on radio and television just ripping the democratic socialism or social democracy, if the first phrase scares you, that is so prevalent in European countries? Is the tax rate in these countries high? Yes, it is. Is it worth it? Well, to the people who live there, you don't see people emigrating from those countries and coming here. To the contrary, you see just the opposite. So what, when something happens like it happened with this global financial meltdown that had its genesis in the United States, it started here. It started carefully planned by the removal during the Clinton years, and Clinton signed it, the Glass-Steagall Act, and it spread like a virus. It took about 10 years from mid-90s to the mid-2000s to from 1995 to 2005 to really become viral, to really destroy everything. Globally, to cause the whole financial meltdown. But countries that practice democratic socialism survived. And as Bob in Kentucky says, they're starting to come out of it already. Now, while we were not paying attention, of course, China, which suffered an awful lot of unemployment at the beginning, all of a sudden, their economy is starting to take off again. And why is that? Well, one of the reasons is they make things there. They didn't participate in the part of globalism that took jobs out of China. They participated in the part that took jobs into China. Wasn't that smart of the Chinese fascists? Wasn't that just brilliant? So all those times that you've heard the Becks and the Limbaughs and these other piglets talking about socialism, 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 to the point that these poor, misguided suckers who go to these town hall meetings who scream socialism don't have a clue what it is. I watched a woman the other day on television scream about she didn't want Russian social or Soviet socialism. What the hell is she talking about? There's no socialism in the Russian Federation. What is she talking about? That ended. That ended 15 years ago. It is now predatory capitalism run by oligarchs that people in this country, the upper 1%, envy, lust after. And China, she calls China socialist. Oh, my God. But that's how crazed it's become. So Bob in Kentucky, of course. Of course these social democracies are coming back. Because unlike in this country, they made sure that the working class and the working poor and the middle class, whatever you want to call it, that the social safety net stayed in place. So, sure, did people lose their homes in some of these countries? Yeah, mostly the UK. But how many people lost homes in Germany and France and the Scandinavian countries? Sure, they lost homes in Ireland. Well, I said the UK. Because they used our system. You know, let's throw money at the banks. Let's throw money here. Screw the working man. You know, in the UK, it's Thatcherism. Here, it's Reaganism. And it's the same damn thing. So the social democracies, not only do they survive, but they come back much more quickly, if we're ever going to come back. And they never really hit that brink of catastrophe and horror that is just rolling across this country.
Hypocrite and liar.
The quality of mercy is not great.
Senators and lawyers.
The quality of mercy is not great.
Victims and heroes.
The quality of mercy is not great.
Murderers and martyrs. The quality of mercy is not great.
Individual results may.
Time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
Another email here, and then back to your phone calls. It's about 25 before the hour. This is from Ron in Columbus, Ohio. Mike, while looking through the employment ads in the Columbus, Ohio Dispatch on Sunday, August 9th, I ran across a chilling ad. A company from Troy, Michigan was seeking security personnel for what it termed episodic work across the nation for strikes and disasters. They wanted people with security training, preferably ex-military individuals. Upon going to their website, Huffmaster.com, one sees a company boasting about providing replacement workers during strikes with special attention paid to healthcare workers and teachers, as well as security guards, perhaps to bust a few heads of the strikers who are bothered by workers being bussed in to take their jobs. The company also boasts about their skills in handling looters and other problem people during natural disasters. It is clear that the corporate fascists are building up a mercenary army across the country to maintain their control during the coming conflict to which they are cold-bloodedly and inexorably pushing this nation. My concern is that those of us on the left will be ill-served in this conflict by our natural inclinations toward what a society should be about, that being peace and a shared sense of community. The monsters on the right share none of those sentiments and will have no compunction about slaughtering thousands of us. They are steadily arming, or they are already arming and training themselves, as evidenced by Blackwater, this company Huffmaster, and the militia groups as reported on by Keith Oberman. I know that you and I, and I hope many others on the left, recognize what is coming, but I'm afraid that the majority cannot conceive of their fellow citizens doing such things to them. Ron in Columbus, Ohio. Yeah, I I'm not going to comment on what Ron wrote. It speaks for itself. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate you emailing. Arthur is in Evergreen, Alabama. Hey, Arthur.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
You had me laughing here for a while. I know exactly what you were talking about with Sean Hannity and those guys. I know for a fact he was a class nerd, but that's not why I called you.
Okay.
I considered myself an agnostic. I have for several years, but I wanted to hear, you know, from someone who is a non-believer what the difference is between an agnostic and an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
I myself just scientifically doubt the whole existence, And if there is any truth to either the Old or New Testament, I believe the only religion out there that's even close is would be the Jews, because their Messiah, the Jesus character in the Bible, is not the guy described in the Old Testament by no means. The Old Testament describes like a king of kings, a conqueror, and Jesus was anything but. If anything, he was a gay guy with 12 gay guys following him around.
Or at least one or two of them. You know, to me, the difference between agnostic and atheist, and agnostic still has some doubt about the whole thing, and atheist has pretty much reached a point where he or she can declare to himself or to herself, no, enough. But if you're going to read religious texts, you know, there's so much to read beyond the Bible. There's the Bhagavad Gita. There is the Holy Quran. There are all sorts of texts that there are Norse texts. There are texts on Greek mythology. We call that Greek mythology now rather than Greek religion. There is Roman mythology, Persian beliefs. It goes on and on and on. There are all sorts of books. One of the things that you'll find if you just do a cursory reading of this stuff is that they all contain the same mythologies, the same stories about the virgin birth, about a star in the sky, about kings coming to visit, about the great flood, about this, about that. But they interchange all the characters and insist that their telling of the tale is the true tale. And I think the mythology, I think it all stems from Sumer, S-U-M-E-R, am I pronouncing that one right? The Sumerian tales of divine presence and divine intervention. The best thing to do, I'll tell you what the best thing to do, Arthur, is to find like a two-year college someplace and take a non-credited course on comparative religion. You know, take maybe 2 hours a week out of your time, and when you come out of that, you've got a pretty good understanding of the similarities and the differences and why people have been tearing themselves to shreds or tearing each other to shreds over the past 5,000 years with this garbage. So that's the quick answer to me. An agnostic says, well, look, you know, I'm not sure about any of this stuff, but I do kind of sort of believe that there is some power greater. But I've found that most agnostics, when they say that, they're thinking of something anthropomorphic, as though some greater power means some greater individual. Whereas an atheist, it just pretty much says, look, I've investigated, I've come to the conclusion that it's all not true. I'm not interested in something that's not true. If there is a higher power, I would think it would be one of these ill-defined concepts like justice or truth or honor or respect or compassion. That would be a higher power. So, okay?
Okay.
Well, okay, Arthur. I'm sorry.
I don't believe anything. I fall in the atheist category, right?
I don't. Well, if you don't believe any of the religious mythologies, I guess you would be.
I don't believe there's a higher power. I believe, you know, all these books are just tales. They're tall tales, and it's kind of like, you know, you say something in someone's ear and it goes around in a circle, and when it comes out the other end, you know, a totally different story.
Well, that's true, but the one thing that is interesting, and thanks, Arthur, one thing that's interesting is that all of these tall tales all have similar mythologies, which would lead me to believe that there have been catastrophic events on this earth, cosmic events, had nothing to do with, some sky being saying, I think I'll flood the whole planet, or I think I'll rain down fire on everything. You know, but had to do with the inability of primitive people to understand a flood, to understand a volcanic eruption, to understand the planet being pelted with in a meteor shower. So, you know, it all comes out as mythology. Well, the gods or God was thoroughly pissed off. We didn't plant the corn right. The rows weren't straight enough or whatever. Or we didn't kill enough virgins, or we didn't slaughter enough babies. So, God is pissed off, or the gods are pissed off. So, or something like that. I don't know. Arthur, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. But truly, just a non-credit continuing education course in comparative religion, as long as your teacher's not a Christian fundamentalist, you'll be fine. Kelly is in Berkeley, California. Hey, Kelly.
I can't believe I'm on.
You are. You are so on.
All right. So I wanted to tell you what I did today. I called State Farm and complained about them supporting Glenn Beck, and I called the local office, and I was not the only one.
Good for you.
I've been getting a lot of calls, so I thought I'd pass that on to you.
Yeah, there is a website, colorofchange.org, I believe, that has petitions available for people to sign. But good for you, Kelly.
Okay. And then the other thing I wanted to, I had two other things I wanted to go over. Where's this article on Mackey, or from Mackey, this crazy guy from Whole Foods? Because what I had read from about him before is that he doesn't take any salary. He pays himself $1 a year.
I kind of doubt. I mean, what does he pay for his commercial jet or his private jets and his homes and his cars? How does he pay for that?
He says that he's made plenty of money other ways, and he didn't need to take a salary from Whole Foods. The article's been written about him a couple of times in the Wall Street Journal. So this is a couple of years ago.
Let me see where. Well, the article that I was quoting is from. It's an op-ed piece that he wrote in the Wall Street Journal, I guess, a couple of days ago. If you go to the Wall Street Journal's website and just do a search of their site, type in John Mackey, you'll probably come up with it. I'm trying to find it here as we talk, and I don't see it. So, just go to the Wall Street Journal and type in John Mackey.
Okay.
And, yeah, the title of it was Whole Foods Alternative to Obamacare. There is no such thing as Obamacare, but that's what, you know, that's what these right-wing thugs are calling it. So, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Kelly. I appreciate you checking in. Ben is driving in Iowa listening on XM. Hey, Ben.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going.
My question is, if this is going to be a public option health care plan, who's going to pay for it?
Well, let me ask you a question. Who, you're driving in Iowa. Who pays for the road you're driving on? Who pays for the police? Who pays for the military?
Well, I do through taxes.
Well, there you go. I guess that's a quick answer, right?
Well, my question is, if it's a public option and I don't choose this health care plan, does that mean I still have to pay for it through taxes?
I don't know. So what? You're not in the military, but you still pay for it. You're not a police officer, but you still pay for it. When's the last time you had to call a policeman to your house? Ever?
Well, I understand that.
Okay.
But I get benefits from that.
You get benefits from having everybody in the United States covered with health insurance too. One of the benefits you get, it makes you less vulnerable to some hideous disease, because if everybody has health care, then people get vaccinated or they get care or they get quarantined or something. So come on, Ben, stop thinking just in terms of you, okay? Of course you have to pay for it. And what's wrong with that? Well, not yet. 10 before the hour. Thanks to our motley little crew, Ben Burt, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Bruce Enberg, and our executive producers, Kathy Bay. You think we ought to add Kay in San Francisco? Kay in San Francisco is our educational correspondent. I think we probably should. We'll wait until she sends us another one of her excellent emails, and we'll read it, and we will announce that we're adding Kay Petrini as the educational correspondent. And out of all these people, with a very small pittance, it goes to Ben, Nobody else is paid a salary. None of us. Oh, my God. Dan is in Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Dan.
Ah, good evening.
Hi.
You know, it's not very original, but I like to think that we can just keep repeating obvious truths, like fact. Where were the so-called fiscal conservatives when, in early 2003, this totally unjustifiable, unspeakable war was launched? Where were they then? Joseph Stiglitz has documented it's going to cost $3 or $4 trillion.
Yeah.
And healthcare, on the other hand, is actually a laudable goal that's going to cost less than that if done the right way. And it's a well documented fact. That
I know it's like crazy land, Dan. I don't know. These right wingers seem to support death and destruction unless it's a zygote or a clump of cells inside a uterus. But they support. They love. They seem to, if they're stimulated by the people who control their minds, they'll go out and do anything to foster and encourage death and destruction. But when it comes to peace and justice and medical care, oh no, they're just like rabid rats. It's incredible.
We just got to keep honing in on the fact that George W. Bush and his cronies racked up more public debt than all his 42 predecessors combined. These people have no credibility.
None.
Pure obstructionism and reactionary sentiment gone wild. And
it is indeed.
Thank you for this opportunity.
All right, Dan, thanks a lot, man. And the people who inspire these right wingers are guys like this.
I'm thinking about killing Michael Moore, and I'm wondering if I could kill him myself or if I would need to hire somebody to do it.
That's nice.
I think I could. I think he could be looking me in the eye, you know, and I could just be choking the life out. Is this wrong? I stopped wearing my What Would Jesus Band Do, and I've lost all sense of right and wrong now. I used to be able to say, yeah, I'd kill Michael Moore, and then I'd see the little band, What Would Jesus Do? And then I'd realize, oh, he wouldn't kill Michael Moore. At least it wouldn't choke him to death, and, you know. Well, I'm not sure.
See, the other thing, so many people listen to Glenn Beck, if I'm to use as a barometer some of the really filthy stuff that was sent to me, the emails that were sent to me, you know, people saying that, that I said I wanted Glenn Beck to kill himself, which is not true, but there's no point in getting into that. But a lot of them are Christians because a lot of them were saying things like, you know, Jesus will kill you or, you know, I'm going to pray for you in Jesus' name, all this stuff. And I just wonder, do they not realize the mockery in that little soundbite of Glenn's? What would Jesus do? You know, and then he suggests that Jesus would strangle the person. So, I mean, you know, he takes your Christian religion and your Messiah and turns him into dirt. And you people still follow him. Beck. You know, this is a part of, I don't understand. You know, it's almost a cliche to say that right wingers are mad. They're insane. But when you listen to what their leaders say to them, like Sarah Palin telling people there's going to be a death panel, that it's in the Barack Obama plan, which is an absolute lie. It was something that was put in the plan by one of my favorite senators here in Georgia. I'm kidding. Johnny Isaacson. And Sarah Palin of the state of Alaska a couple of years ago had a provision for end-of-life consultations to help people decide what they wanted to do. Do you want to go to hospice or do you want to stay here and have tubes and knives and things stuck in your body? I remember when my mother was dying at the age of 89, Kathy and I were there. Molly hadn't been born yet. Kathy was there 7 months pregnant and we're sitting by her bed and she's maybe 8 hours away from going into the final stage of life, the death rattle and the death throes and so on and so forth. And she one of the last things she said to me and Kathy was, I don't want any more procedures. It hurts. Now, my mother did not have an end-of-life directive. So the people in the hospital looked at me, her oldest kid, you know, what to do. And my sister and I had decided, okay, Sylvia has reached this point. She's almost 90. This is agony. She's rotting from the inside. So we made the decision. But it was based on what she said. You know, and she said, I don't want any more. Just let me go. You know, when your own mother, and now she didn't say it that biting off the words like I just did, but it was very clear and it was very concise and it was very exact. And, you know, it makes perfect sense. God knows that I will have, and so will Kathy, and so will anybody who has any kind of sense whatsoever. You have these end of life documents, and you have three or four of them. You have them done in triplicate, and you have one with your spouse. You have one with your lawyer. You have one with your physician. You have one with the hospital. You have one with your best friend. So that when the time comes that the end of your conscious existence on this planet is occurring, people know what to do. It's so simple. And yet, people like Johnny Isaacson and Sarah Palin and the rest of these people turn that into a death panel? Oh, my God. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. The